1 o'clock hour here on a Monday. Welcome in. Game time. 1620 of the Zone, 1620ofthezone.com, and the 1620 of the Zone mobile app. Nick Baugh with you, George producing. Of course, 1 hour from, who is it? Because John's going to be flying to Fort Worth with me, so is it Josh and might be Schaefer. It might be Schaefer today. I'm not totally sure.
But they're going to be out at Warner Park,
right?
Yeah,
there we go. God, you know when you're starting to do shows at Warner Park, spring is here. It is officially here, which is just exciting for everyone right now. Been certainly no shortage of things to talk about. As we have the NCAA tournament first weekend in the books. Creighton in action to tomorrow against TCU. Nebraska season officially comes to an end last night at the hands of TCU. We were all kind of robbed of what could have been a pretty remarkable, exciting game. If Nebraska would have won last night, it'd have been Creighton and Nebraska in the NIT in Omaha. And that, my friends, would have been rated R. So, I apologize to everyone that wouldn't have been able to come to that game, but that would have been exciting. But Creighton is one win away from heading back to New York and Madison Square Garden. One win away from the NIT Final Four, and that's pretty exciting. I mean, when you get to this point, you can taste it, you can see it, you can smell it. And Creighton's won two games, beat Loyola Chicago, and then beat Memphis in what was a wild game on Friday night. And now they're going to head to Fort Worth to take on TCU tomorrow night. And I said at the start of the year that Creighton going to the NIT would be good for this team. Now, throughout the process of arriving at this point, getting there, it's been shaky at times. And you can make an easy argument that this team should have made the NCAA tournament and shouldn't be in the NIT. And I'd have a hard time arguing against that. But at the same time, when you do take into consideration the youth on this team, Tyshawn Alexander, Mitch Ballack, Damian Jefferson, Jacob Epperson, all sophomores, Zegarowski, Bishop, Froehling, all freshmen, and then you take into consideration the injuries, Epperson, Jefferson, Zegarowski, Tyshawn Alexander missed a game. For this team to end up where they're at is understandable to a certain degree. And when Creighton got this NIT bid, I felt like this opportunity could in some ways shape the next 2 years. I'd say the next 2 weeks could shape the next 2 years. Young team, the whole core is returning next year, making a run in the NIT. There is definite value in that. And there's value individually too. Kyrie Thomas doesn't become Kyrie Thomas if it wasn't for the NIT his freshman year. He played great. He built up his confidence. It springboarded him into the offseason, and he really never looked back, and now he resides in Detroit playing for the Detroit Pistons. And what's exciting about the first two games so far for Creighton is there's a youngster by the name of Christian Bishop that's had himself two really good basketball games. He's played really well against Loyola and Memphis. I don't think Creighton beats Creighton doesn't beat Memphis without Christian Bishop. Martin Kroppel got into foul trouble, so it wasn't like an added bonus. Like, they needed Christian Bishop to come in and defend and rebound and do all that. Finish at the rim. And the good thing about Bishop, man, is like when you looked on the floor the other day against Memphis, they had some freaky athletes, and you know who looked like they belonged on the floor was Bishop. So the NIT has been absolutely valuable to a guy like Bishop. And now Creighton has a chance to make this thing interesting if they go win at TCU. Going to the Final Four of the NIT would not be good. It would be great for this team. So listen, you can poo-poo the NIT all you want, but it matters. And the game tomorrow is huge. It's an amazing opportunity for the Jays. Now, it's a quick turnaround in terms of prep. Now, the good thing is that Creighton's had a couple extra days of rest that TCU hasn't had. But at the same time, Creighton's got to travel. Creighton's got to get ready to play in terms of understanding scouting report quickly. And Creighton's a very scouting report specific defense, so they're going to have to get acclimated and study quick. And, you know, I mean, shoot, that Nebraska-TCU game wrapped up after 10 o'clock last night, so the Jays are going to have to board a plane this afternoon, go to Fort Worth, and see what happens. Not a lot of prep time. I like TCU. I don't love TCU. I think whenever they've really played anybody of note, they've lost. Like, you look at their resume, they didn't really have any good wins in the non-con. Then when they got into conference play, they got swept by every top team in the Big 12. Kansas swept them, Texas Tech swept them, Kansas State swept them. And they have kind of been struggling before the NIT. You know, I mean, from February 11th to March 4th, they lost 6 of 7 games. They went 1-6 in a almost month-long stretch. And you look at last night, and it's hard to even necessarily get a sense of that game last night for Nebraska was weird. Like, Palmer was ice cold, couldn't throw it in the ocean in the first half. Roby gets into foul trouble, eventually fouls out, gets a flagrant 2, and gets tossed off of a play that was kind of silly. And yet, Nebraska was, like, within striking distance for a lot of that game. And that felt like that was the worst Nebraska had played by far in the past handful of weeks. So, I mean, TCU's good, don't get me wrong. I mean, they're you know, balanced team. Got a really good point guard. They're athletic in the front line. But this is by no means one of those situations where Creighton's, you know, in big trouble. But we'll see. I mean, Creighton hasn't been great on the road. And it'd be nice if he can get Tyshawn Alexander rolling again. He's kind of been struggling a little bit. Mitch Ballack played well the other day. Marcus Zagorowski, I thought, did a lot of good things. I know he hasn't shot it great, but, I mean, against those Memphis athletes, and they full-court pressed and played crazy for the final 15 minutes of the game. Marcus Zagorowski played, you know, 35-plus minutes as a freshman and only turned it over one time. Like, that guy's a real player. So, really, really good opportunity for the Jays. Really good opportunity. And tell you what, there was a great opportunity for Central Florida last night that they just let slip away. And that was an incredible basketball game. We've kind of been inundated with blowouts and lots of chalk and not a lot of Cinderella stories. There's only one real legit buzzer beater. So that game felt like we all needed it really bad. And it was great. Johnny Dawkins coached a masterpiece. He mixed in some zone. He basically planted 7-6 Taco Fall right in the middle of the lane. He didn't guard DeLaurier or Trey Jones, the non-shooters, and made life tough on the drivers of Zion and R.J. Barrett. And boy, oh boy, there when, and I've been there, when you lose a game that you should have won, the worst feeling is the next morning when you open your eyes and the reality sinks in again. You're like, did that seriously happen? It did. Oh, my God. There were so many moments last night where Central Florida, I thought, could have seized total control and won the game. The missed lob and transition by Central Florida with under 2 minutes left was huge. Central Florida could have taken a 76-70 lead with about a minute 45 left. But instead, they missed the lob. And in that moment, they either needed to convert or chew 30 seconds off the clock, and they didn't do either. And then, oh, by the way, Duke came down and banged a 3 on the ensuing possession, so it was a 5-point swing. Taco Fall fouled out on the and one to Zion Williamson. He needed to hammer him or let him get it up on or let him make the 2. But instead, Zion gets the and one, and then we have the play, man. Central Florida inside position on the free throw. They don't box out. R.J. Barrett grabs the offensive rebound. Ball game. And Central Florida then got two good looks at a layup, didn't get it to go down. But ultimately, the play of the game, the two plays of the game to me were the missed lob and the missed blockout. I just don't get it, man. I've always laughed, like, I remember as a player, and even now whenever I see it, I always laugh at the coaches who are yelling at their players during a free throw to box out. Box out! It's like, duh. Be like right now if I went to 72nd Dodge, just say, hey! Drive! Keep on driving! It's like, yeah, we're on Dodge Street in our car. What do you think we're doing? It's like, to me, as a player, be like, yeah, we're lined up for a free throw. He's about to shoot it. What do you think we're going to do? Should be understood. Well, I guess not. I mean, wow. Game on the line. You're in the NCAA tournament. You have a chance to beat Duke. You got inside position on the free throw. You know Zion Williamson is a great free throw shooter, and you don't box out. And the ball goes right to where you would have been if you'd have boxed out. Goes right to R.J. Barrett. He lays it in. How does that happen? I mean, coach's kid, too. Aubrey Dawkins, been money all game, didn't box out. And if you think that was a box out, you don't know what real box outs look like. I mean, you just don't. I mean, if you think he boxed out, you have never seen a real box out.
He didn't even box out the air.
No, he didn't even. There was no contact made. Zero. Zero contact made. And not yet. Did R.J. Barrett, was there a little push in the back? Yeah, a little one. It wasn't the most egregious thing in the world. But for me, I lose a lot of sympathy when you don't box out. I mean, if you'd have boxed out, he'd have cleared the area to be able to go get the ball. And I mean, just box out. Maddening. I guess that's why they call it March Madness. Every way, shape, and form, it's maddening. Duke can breathe a sigh of relief. They're moving on. CBS can breathe a sigh of relief. Zion and Duke still alive. Pretty remarkable game. Pretty remarkable game. 402-951-1620. So we're sitting here. We're still playing the waiting game in terms of Nebraska's season has come to a conclusion. I can't help but be refreshing my email inbox over and over and over again to see if I'm getting some sort of announcement from the university on the status of Tim Miles. I think we all know that feels like it's a foregone conclusion that a change is going to be made, but certainly crazier things have happened. Crazier things have happened. Coming up next, I want to get into that a little bit. I got an interesting email from a listener I want to dive into regarding Tim Miles, the job status, all that stuff. We'll get to that. We got Verz coming up as well. You can email me, nick@1620thezone.com, Equitable Bank, Zone Inbox, EquitableOnline.com, JTech Construction Zone Twitter feed, @NickBaugh. Got an email I want to read next.